ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
We were supposed to have questions and answers, but we decided because our friends have come that I was told that Fra Shlave had particular interest in philosophical aspects of Krishna consciousness. So I thought I would continue the discussion we were having this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam's descriptions of the transcendental characteristics of the personality of Godhead. Please set it up. One question which may have come up, which I'll answer or I'll address, is that of bongo drums in kirtan, which has recently become popular. It certainly gives a strong beat, which is pleasing. It helps to get the rhythm going. So that's acceptable, kirtan. Lokesh Prabhu, you're going to fill in what these words, like kirtan, technical words, you may explain to your friends here. So, but there are basically two approaches in Vaishnava behavior. Manidhar Prabhu was talking about how we have to present Krishna consciousness as not simply some rules and regulations, but it's fun. And certainly Krishna consciousness is fun because it is the nature of God and the nature of the servants of God to be joyful. But one approach is doing what we like or what seems to be nice to us. And the other approach is doing exactly what he wants of us. So although playing bongo drum in kirtan may be nice to us, and it's not banned or not unacceptable, but we know that kartals and mridangas, these are the eternal paraphernalia of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, which is specifically pleasing to Krishna. We sing Madhur, 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 Shankha Bhaje, Ghanta Bhaje, Madhur, Madhur, Madhur. This mridanga, Shankha, the conch, the bell, these are all very sweet. They sound very sweetly. So that's pleasing to Krishna and Krishna Chaitanya. So the bongo drum is loud, but it's not as sweet as a mridanga. So, like I say, it can be played just like pizza can be offered, but
znači, it's može not, se svirati
it's not what Mother Yashoda or Mother Shachi offer. So Prabhupada knew that unless, you know, Prabhupada was expert at taking our material desires and, as he used the word, dovetailing them into Krishna's service. But a looking from the other side, from Krishna's side, what he wants of us as his servants, that's a better approach. This will be intricately or in detail discussed in my upcoming book on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who cited this understanding as the cornerstone of all his teachings. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Janmadhyasya yaton vayad itaratas charteshvabhignyaswarat. Tene brahma hridaya adikavaye muhyanti yat suryaha. Tejo vari mridang yatha vinimeyo yatra trisargo mrsha dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhakang satyang parang dhimahi.
Now, this morning we discussed briefly the invocation Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Very briefly discussing that Vasudev, the all-pervading son of Vasudev, is this supreme personality of Godhead. That he is to be offered respects to, that is axiomatic, or at least it should be, but because we're not accepting that, we are in this material world. So in this verse we have a summary of the transcendental characteristics of the personality of Godhead. This verse has also been explicated in an entirely different manner by Srila Jiva Goswami, in which he describes that this verse describes Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Anyway, when we've been through to the 10th canto, then we can come back again to here, then we can discuss that. So the invocation Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya offers respects to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why he should be considered the Supreme Personality of, why he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what his characteristics are explained summarily herein, which forms the subject matter of the entire Bhagavatam. The first words, janmadyasya yataha, they are the same as the second of the sutras or aphorisms in the Vedanta Sutra. The Vedanta means the final knowledge in the Vedas. Ved means knowledge, and Vedanta means the final subject of knowledge. Vedanta refers to the Upanishads, which give knowledge of the Absolute Truth. And Vedanta Sutra summarizes in aphorisms that knowledge. And again, that knowledge is fluffed out or explained herein in Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedanta Sutra begins with the call that Atato Brahma Jignasa. Now one should inquire into spiritual reality. What now means is explained differently by different acharyas. Now means in the human form of life, and especially the that after being through all the Vedic knowledge, which is meant for pious enjoyment, one should come to the level of considering what is the actual purpose of the Vedas. After being through the Purva Mimamsa, the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, one should come to this Uttar Mimamsa. Mimamsa means deliberation. Deliberation, it means considering very deeply. So, Atato Brahma Jignasa, one should inquire into the Absolute Truth. Brahma, this word is also used in this verse. It also means the Vedas or the Vedic knowledge. So now one should inquire into the actual purpose of the Vedas. So what is that Absolute Truth that is to be inquired into? That is immediately described in the second Sutra of Vedanta Sutra. Janmadyasya yataha. The Absolute Truth is the source of all emanations. So Vedanta Sutra, it is a summary of the Upanishads. Yeah. So these two first sutras, this Atato Brahma Jignasa and Janmadyasyataha, they are a summary of the important statements in Taittiriya Upanishad. Here, Janma Adi means Janma means birth or creation, etc., which means creation, maintenance, and destruction. The understanding we get from the Vedas is that the material universe is not just created at one time, but is bhutva bhutva praliyate, created, maintained for some time, destroyed, then again created, maintained, and destroyed over vast expanses of time. As Dhrutakama Prabhu explains, it is a circular understanding of time rather than a linear one. So, Taittiriya Upanishad explains that yato va imani bhutani jayante, the absolute, that from which everything comes, yena jatani jivanti, that in which everything lives or exists. Yat, what's the next line? Yat prayatyapi sang vishanti, that by into which everything again enters. Tad vijyasasva, that is the proper subject of inquiry. Tad brahmeti, that is the Absolute Truth. Now, there are many philosophers who presume this Absolute Truth to not be a person, that the Absolute Truth is an undefined, impersonal, it's not even possible to say substance, reality. but especially Sripad Ramanujacharya has given extensive scriptural argument to establish that Tad Brahmeti, that absolute truth which is described here, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. He has broken the teeth of the Vedantis, those who presume themselves to know Vedanta but who deny the personality of Godhead. So that the absolute truth is the source of all emanations. Prabhupada, in his introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam, he has given a very meaningful introduction. Prabhupada writes that the concept of God and the concept of the absolute truth are not on the same level. That generally the absolute truth is considered to be impersonal
obično
by
se smatra,
the so-called philosophers. And there is a concept of God as a cosmic order supplier. And even there are, even the impersonal philosophers accept Ishvara, the Supreme Controller. But they consider him to be also an emanation from the Supreme Absolute Truth. Janmadyasya yataha, that from which everything comes. So they presume that God also comes from that. But Prabhupada explains how the Srimad Bhagavatam explains how that the Supreme Controller is the Supreme Person, is that Absolute Truth. He is not an emanation from it. As Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhavaha, I am the source of everything. Everything is generated from myself. Matah sarvam pravartate, everything comes from me. So because the impersonal philosophers are so much fixed in the concept that everything must come from an imperson, therefore they presume that when Krishna says aham, that Krishna is speaking in cryptic language, that he's speaking in this manner to represent the impersonal from which he comes. But the actual meaning is, according to the impersonal philosophers, is that everything, the Supreme Absolute Truth is not a person. But the Vaishnav philosophers have gone to great lengths to show how these speculations of the impersonalists are no more than that. That the Supreme Absolute Truth is the Supreme Person. Now, this is the great contribution of theism that Srila Prabhupada has brought to the Western world, where this confusion also exists. Some of the earliest disciples of Srila Prabhupada explained that when they heard him talking so much about impersonalism and impersonalists and their false ideas, they thought he had some kind of vendetta with some sadhus in India that he couldn't forget about, and so he kept on talking about. But gradually they came to realize that Prabhupada was talking to them. Nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya desha tarine. Prabhupada came to deliver the Western countries which are filled with this impersonalism and voidism. So even most people who at least give lip service to God, most of them are not very much concerned to understand who God is. They pray to God and they're happy if he gives them something, but the implications of praying to him, they don't think about it very much. And if you're praying, then you must be praying to a person. But when it comes to praying to God, then there's some vague thought of him as a person. But if there's any discussion about the nature of God, which mostly people don't like to enter into very much, then they relegate him to impersonalism. They say, God is love. But that is not exactly correct. Rather, he is the object of love, the repository of all love. Love in itself is a quality which has to be shared between people. So to say God is love means that if we don't qualify that by saying that God is the source of all love and the object of all love and the giver of love, unless we qualify that by accepting him as a person, then we're actually relegating him to the status of something, some quality to be enjoyed by ourselves. So by claiming to elevate God to a status above ourselves, he is simply cosmic love, we actually deny his personality. So the Srimad Bhagavatam gives knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Personality means qualities. He is a person. Means he has personal relationships. He has personal likes and dislikes. That's why I was saying bongo drum, pizza, we can do. And he may say, all right, that's nice. What he likes is mridanga. So what are his characteristics? How can we understand about him? If we say a person, generally we tend to deny that because we think of a person as being a limited person. The absolute truth means unlimited. But if we say a person, that immediately brings in the concept of limitation. Person means form. And form means present in a particular point of space. So that means limited. Just like we are sitting here means we're not also sitting in Zagreb. But that is already hinted at in the name Vasudeva, which means that he is the son of Vasudeva and simultaneous person and simultaneously all-pervading. And we say, well, that's not possible. And that's true. It's not possible for you and me. But you and I are not God. That's the difference between us and God. That he is unlimited. The absolute truth means complete in all respects. So he is simultaneously localized and all-pervading. Absolute truth means everything is included within the absolute truth. So he is anoraniyam. He is the smallest of the small. And what's the next line? Mahamahiyam. He is the greatest of the greatest. Everything is within him, and he is within everything. Not possible to understand by mundane intelligence, because he is beyond the mundane intelligence. This much we can logically accept, that everything is possible for him. So he is the absolute truth, the source of all emanations. Yeah, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati described this one verse, 30 days, 2 hours each day. I'm running out of time here. What is his knowledge and what is my knowledge? What is his realization and what is mine? One more clause we can discuss. Anvayat means directly. Itarataha means indirectly. Actually, these words have very, very deep import, which can be explained in many ways. Cha arteshu. All his purposes are served directly and indirectly. This, again, suggests his unlimited powers. Parasya shaktya vivid, again from the Upanishads. Parasya shaktya vivid haiva shruyate swabhavaki jnana bala kriya cha. That the Supreme has unlimited energies, which are described in various ways. His energies of... they act automatically. His energies of knowledge, strength, and activity. So all these energies of the Supreme Lord, they work as if automatically. They're fully under his control, but at the same time, he's not belabored in controlling everything. Prabhupada gives the example, we sometimes see that picture of Atlas holding up the earth and it looks as if he's straining under the weight. But all the energies by which all the universes are created, maintained and destroyed are under Krishna's control. Just see how the scientists with so much research, they're finding out some tiny little bits of information about how the universe is running on. And with much research and much endeavor, they discover something about some of the energies and how to use them. So in this way, they've discovered this atomic power, thermal power, steam power, electromagnetism, and so many different. But they have to have very precisely controlled systems, otherwise disaster, otherwise Chernobyl or something like this. But Krishna is creating, maintaining, destroying all the millions of universes, which are millions of times more complex than anything any scientist can even imagine what to speak of creating. So we might imagine Krishna, you know, getting up in the morning and, you know, he can't sleep at night because he has so much anxiety how to oversee everything. You know, he has so many arms because he has so many phones he has to answer. Just full of anxiety. Not at all. Simply enjoying. That's another feature of the Absolute Truth. He is the supreme enjoyer. And he doesn't sleep at night, not because he's in anxiety how to run the universe, but because he's enjoying. And all his energies are running on automatically and simultaneously under his control. He knows everything that's going on everywhere. But at the same time, he's aloof from it all. Very big subject. Krishna, playing in Vrindavan, he knows everything that's going on in the universe. What universe? This little P universe. Actually, P, that's an exaggeration. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described it as a mustard seed, which is much smaller than a pea. So, all the universe, millions of universes, Krishna knows everything that's going on and he's dancing. He's simultaneously fully aware of everything and at the same time, not aware in as much as he's fully absorbed in his pastimes with his devotee. Mm. So these are some of the introductory description of the personality of Godhead. This is the first of 18,000 verses describing him. This first verse, which we've almost finished the first line of, I'm just going through it very quickly, is just a summary. But actually, all the 18,000 verses, they're just a summary. Ananta Dev with thousands of mouths is describing the glories of the Supreme Lord since time immemorial, and he never repeats himself, and there's no end in sight. Therefore, Ananta, his glories are unlimited. So, we'd all like to learn this verse, recite it time to time. This is a complete summary of the total theology of understanding who is God. So you can please all learn this verse. And then to understand it, then we can read Srimad Bhagavatam a few times at least, and we might start to begin to have some understanding. Of course, we have to engage in devotional service also, because simply by reading, God cannot be understood. So we have, just like Prabhupada said, we have enough to keep us busy all our lifetime. If we discuss one verse every day, then it'll take us 50 years to go through Bhagavatam. Another thing we could do is just discuss one verse every day. There's no end. Ananta. Anyway, this class is ending now. And if there are one or two questions we could take, and then there's going to be drama. Which subject? What is that? You're saying Vishnu Jan Swami? So, if there are one or two questions related to this, they could be given now.
I heard one statement that the closer we get to Krishna, that the less and less we need scriptures. So if you can comment on that, please.
Mm. Well, as Prabhupada often said, the gopis of Vrindavan, they were not Vedanta scholars. But in another sense, they are, because they come again as the six Goswamis, as great philosophical teachers. And it's not that as the six Goswamis, they're any less than in their role as the gopis. Yeah. So, Bhagavatam is Krishna. It's not just a school book. It's not like that. And it's not simply meant for some dry academic philosophical understanding. There's nothing dry in Bhagavatam. But rather, as Prabhupada writes, that one can see Krishna in every page of the Bhagavatam. So due to the necessity of the Leela, of Gopi Leela, of Raja Leela, there is no discussion of Vedanta. Although everything the gopis do and everything the Vrajvasis do and say is in itself the summit level of Vedanta. And it's not that they're without any knowledge
of Shastra.
Because we find, for instance, them chastising or Krishna that we know you're very cruel to women. As Ram you had Lakshman cut off the nose of Shurpanaka. And we know that you're a cheating personality because Purnamasi told us that when you came as Vamandev, you cheated Bali Maharaj. So they had what appears to be what would be called Lokic knowledge of scripture or ordinary knowledge. Now it's very interesting that some devotees of the Sahajiya class, they like to read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, how he describes Gopi Leela, which is very charming and very intimate. I'm not saying that everyone who reads Vishwanath is a Sahajiya, but I'm saying Sahajiya types, they like to read exclusively or discuss exclusively these kind of topics. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has also given elaborate commentary on all the verses of the one of the last chapters, which is that 87 of Canto 10, Prayers of the Personified Vedas, which is highly philosophical. Vishwanath Chakravarti has therein explained in highly philosophical terms. He's brought out so many nuances or subtleties of the Vedas prayers. So it wasn't that he didn't know all these things or that he was allergic to these things. This praise of Krishna through, or description of Krishna through Shastra, that is also the ecstasy of the devotees. So although in one sense the statement you made is true, it has to be understood very carefully because it's very easy to misuse, as is done by Sahajiyas, Prakrita Sahajiyas, who say that, you know, we don't need any scripture, we just love Krishna. The much misunderstanding arises because the activities or behavior or manifestations of a neophyte may be externally appear to be that of similar to that of a most advanced devotee. A most advanced devotee may not follow some of the rules of scripture. Generally he does, but he's not obliged to. Generally he does because the scriptures, they train us how to act in a manner pleasing to Krishna. And the topmost devotees, they, without even consulting the scriptures, they automatically, they're in tune with what Krishna wants and they act in that way. But sometimes topmost devotees do perform activities which are proscribed in scripture and not allowed. They may, for instance, start chastising. Vanshidas Babaji, for instance, would chastise his deities. But that is out of pure love. But if he might not care for them, or, you know, he apparently not care for them. As a punishment, he would refuse to feed them for some time or something. But that's done out of pure love, and that's very pleasing to Krishna because it's on the platform of pure love. But if a neophyte devotee neglects his deities on the plea of this is bhav seva, whereas actually he's just lazy and neglectful and he wants to go to a rock concert, that's offensive. But they will say, oh, you don't understand. Someone who wants to follow the rules and regulations, they'll say, oh, you don't understand. It's my high level of devotion. But this is simply cheating. Or they say, well, Prabhupada, you see, when he was living in Jhansi, he didn't look after his deity so well. Well, that is bhav seva. Or there was one devotee I asked him, why are you getting up? Why don't you get up early in the morning for Mangal Arati? He said, well, Prabhupada's father used to get up late, it says in Prabhupada Lilamrita. So they'll, you know, there's like millions of devotees rise early, and they'll find one who doesn't, and they'll take that as the standard. This is cheating. A sincere devotee will try to find out the ideal and follow that. And one who is insincere will try to find out any excuse to pretend to be a devotee while not being a devotee. So although the statement you made is tenable, it's possible, but it shouldn't be said without proper explanation, otherwise it will be misused. I'm not following the scriptures because I'm so advanced. You're not following the scriptures because you're a rascal. Well, that's the actual thing. But they like to say, oh, you're just on a lower level, you don't understand. No philosophy, no argument. That's why philosophy is important. Otherwise, the diseased tendency to act in this cheating propensity, this becomes manifest. And it's there. Whenever any great religious personality comes to this world, they never teach enjoy this world. They teach serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But inevitably, their teachings are seized upon by vultures and jackals who twist it all around and use it for their own sense gratification. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he wrote this extraordinary article that the churches and religious institutions of this world, they are what did he say exactly? It's like they're the grossest manifestation of atheism under the guise of theism. Because what happens, he didn't explain like this, but I'm giving. Whenever there's any saintly person or genuine devotee, then people want to offer some donation and they're respectful to him.
Donatio.
So people, other people, they imitate this. They think, well, this is, you just be a saint and people give you money and they respect you and that's great. Mm. As L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of the Scientology Church, said, If you really want to be a millionaire quick, just found your own religion. So we have to be very careful of cheaters, as is stated in the second verse of Bhagavata. Anyway, that's all. So we'll have the drama now. What's the word for drama?
Predstava.
No, different. It's very popular in Russia. Our devotees have spektakl.
Spektakl, predstava.
They do very nice dramas, very devotional dramas.